Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's all about the macro productions.
Oh, Ashback Fridays here on Macro Aggressions, taking you back to October 24th, 2023. It's episode 380, American Psycho. Start stacking silver automatically each month by becoming a member of the Wolf Pack. Just go to macroaggressions.gold to find out how. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tech Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macro Aggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. You can connect with me online on Twitter at Macro Aggressions, on Instagram at Macro Aggressions Podcast, or the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Big thanks to our sponsors. They make this show happen. EMP Shield. Got devices for you, for your home, for your car, for your generator, boat, motorhome. If you've got any of those things, it's pretty easy to install. You can do it yourself. You can watch installation videos. It'll protect you against lightning strikes, solar flares, and even EMPs. And given the state of the world we're in right now, I mean, we cannot rule that out. I wish we could. We cannot. But I'll tell you what, if you're interested in something like this, if it sounds like, you know, a device that might be right up your alley, go to empshield.com and just read about what they've done and how they did it. And if you find something you like, the promo code is macro. That'll save you some money on your way out. Also, big thanks to Ken and the team over at C60 Purple Power. You can go to their website, shopc60.com and read everything that you wanted to know about this amazing product that they have. It's the guys that discovered the C60, the carbon 60 molecule, wound up winning the Nobel Prize for it. It's a big deal. It's the most powerful antioxidant known. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything else out there. It'll help you lift the oxidation burden off of your cells. It'll help improve your cellular function. So that's what nuclear physicists wound up having to work with because they were not living very long. And so Ken, being a nuclear physicist himself, he found out about this and wound up pivoting from nuclear physics and moving into selling supplements. And it's a fantastic product. I take it every morning and I have for years now. My cat takes it as well, or at least one of my cats does. So go over to shopc60.com and read up about it. See if you think it's right for you. If it is, promo code is macro on your way out. They have pet formulas too. So don't forget about your four-legged friends. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. Also, since I'm thinking about it, what are you guys doing in February? Second week of February, Acapulco, Mexico, 2024. Sounds pretty good. I'm going to be hosting in Acapulco this year. It should be a whole lot of fun. It's 5 days. It's going to be a crazy party. So if you want to come down, be around like-minded people, meet some interesting, you know, hear some great presentations, meet some cool people from all over the world, take a look. Go to anarchapulco.com and see what you think. And if you want to buy some tickets, use the promo code macro on that one as well. It'll save you some money because they'd love to have you. I'd love to see you down there. I'm just opening this up. It's an invitation to all of the listeners. Like, that's where the party is. You want to know where the party is? We've decided that's where it is. There's more than enough room for everybody. So take a look. You just book yourself a hotel in the area in Acapulco. This place is right by the airport. Easy to get to. Great facility. They had it there last year. It's being really well run. The production staff is fantastic now. So I'm happy to be a part of it. Flattered that they would think of me. So let's talk about our favorite American psycho, Gavin Newsom. Oh my goodness. I mean, this guy, I hate to say it, he looks like the president. You know, I mean, he acts like one too. Of course, he's a defective human being in almost every way in which you can be so, which makes him uniquely qualified to hold the position of President of the United States. There are some requirements for that. Besides being an American citizen, you also have to be deeply troubled, have no soul or conscience or anything like that, and also be working towards a one-world government. He ticks all the boxes there, but what we're going to do is we're going to look into sort of his past, a little bit about who he is, talk about his business empire, get into his personal life, because it's relevant when you put yourself in a position like this so that everybody knows who you are because you want to control everybody. Well, then we get to look into your past and see what you're up to. Hint, spoiler alert for later in the episode, it ain't good. It is not good. So listen, I would say that the Patrick Bateman of the Democratic Party is making moves to position himself to slip into the White House. I am not of the belief that it's going to happen in 2024. I think that given his track record of staying for many years in the positions in which he occupies in government, and not fully completing the task of destroying California. There's still plenty of work to be done, yet they are on the right track, if you ask me. As a 35-year resident of California who no longer lives there anymore, I can tell you that the place is unrecognizable. But he's not done. He's not done. There's still plenty of people that still live there. It's a great place. Geographically speaking, it's got everything. You know, it's got the mountains where you can ski and do all that stuff. It's got the beaches. It's got the deserts. I grew up in the desert out there. It's got Hollywood. San Francisco used to be super cool. San Diego is always voted best weather in the country. It's, you know, Monterey, Napa, wine country up north where they grow all the weed. These are, you know, there's amazing places, Yosemite, Redwood Forest, all these unbelievable geography. And like, all you have to do is nothing. And it remains that way. And yet these people just try so hard to destroy the place. They try so hard to hollow out California from the inside. Gavin Newsom has been brought in to destroy. And he's great at what he does. I mean, we're going to cover quite a bit about who he is and what he's done. But I will say this. He's fantastic at his job. The problem with that is that I think most people are not clear about what his job actually is. They maybe believe that he is set to make California a better place and improve the lives of people. And it's none of those things. No. His job is to destroy the place. So when I say he's good at his job, that's what I mean. So look, he was groomed from the very start to rise into positions of high governmental power. You know, and culminating in becoming the president of the United States. I mean, and I think 2028, you're 2 years away from Agenda 2030. You know, just in time to he gets in 2028, man. He is just in time to lube up your asshole and jam Agenda 2030 in like a rainbow dildo. And he's uniquely qualified to handle that task, being that he's from San Francisco. He's been pandering to the communities there for a long, long time. He's a destroyer. He is a destroyer of worlds. And look, I'm sure he's, you know, as the mayor of the worst run city in America, a former mayor of San Francisco, he's got some tricks up his sleeve. He knows how to do this. And so let's talk about this creep, Gavin Newsom of the Pelosi and Getty clans. He is the former husband of Kimberly Guilfoyle. Are you aware of that? You know, the girl, the lady that's with girl, she's like in her 50s. The lady that is with Don Jr., the one that looks like she's straight out of Fox News herself. You know, before she was with Don Jr., she was married to Gavin Newsom. I mean, that doesn't get talked about too much, but like, from 2004 to 2006, she was what was known as the First Lady of San Francisco. Now, nowadays, if someone tells you they're the First Lady of San Francisco, you need to do a cup check on them just to make sure they're not packing heat down there. But I'm pretty sure she does not have a dick. And though I might, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Harper's Bazaar magazine, if you know of that magazine, they ran a cover with a picture of Kimberly Guilfoyle and Gavin Newsom when they were married. And it said, "The New Kennedys." And I was like, whoa, the new Kennedys, huh? That's ambitious. Is that predictive programming, though? I don't know. I mean, maybe he's going to wind up getting his head blown off in Daily Plaza at some point. We'll find out about that. But so his ex-wife, you know, is now has switched teams. She's gone from Democrat leaning San Francisco to Republican MAGA Mar-a-Lago, right? So she's, she's for sale, I guess. I mean, her allegiances can be bought, right? She may miss time this one, though, because she's going to have pulled her parachute a little early, because if she just stuck with this Gavin Newsom guy, if he didn't gut her and like a fish at some point and stuff her and put her down in his crawl space somewhere, then she would eventually become the First Lady, which would be wild, man. But let's talk about his current wife, right? His current wife is Jennifer Siebel Newsom. She is a former actress. I mean, they're all actresses, right? They're all playing some role. Let's be honest here. But she was an actual actress, and she was an actress that got allegedly sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein, and like had to go up on the witness stand and talk about it and all this. And like she slept with Harvey Weinstein to get parts. So I mean, she was a whore in Hollywood. If you're fucking Harvey Weinstein to get a part, you're trading sex for favors. I mean, it's just a matter, you're a whore. It's just a matter of degree at that point. So she's open for business, right? She has ties to Silicon Valley Bank. The one of the largest banking, it was one of the largest banking institutions to have to collapse in American history. Gavin Newsom's businesses use it. We're going to get into that in a little bit. We'll talk about all the businesses that he has. But so he knows how to pick them. He knows how to pick the ladies, right? He definitely has a type. Soulless sycophants that are looking for sugar daddies that are famous and rich. So, you know, he's going to fit in nicely into Washington, D.C. at some point. And listen, I have no respect for these people or their wives. So everybody is fair game. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pull my punches and be like, oh, don't attack their wives. No. They all get it. You're all part of this. You're an enabler. You're enabling Gavin Newsom to destroy the world. So you're up on, you know, you're not going to be spared at all in this. So, but again, let's talk about the actual guy, Gavin Newsom. All right. I want to list off I was going to say accomplishments, but that'd be a stretch. Let's just list off his resume, shall we? He is currently the governor of California and has been since January of 2019. But if you recall, there was a recall election for him in 2021 because he was doing such a bad job. Well, let me reframe that. He was doing such a good job destroying it that the citizens were like, this is horrible. Like, even by our standards, we have low expectations in California, but even we don't want him there. So they ran a recall election, which he won. I'm not saying that he stole that election. I'm just saying that California voters are dumb enough to keep bringing him back. Right. So whatever. So he survived the recall election, and he currently is the governor of California. He was so that's since January 2019. Before that, he was the lieutenant governor. So he was basically the vice president, if you want to look at it that way, of California when Jerry Brown was the governor. Jerry Brown had been the governor in the 70s, and then he rotated out, and then he came back and did a second tour of duty. And while Jerry Brown was governor from 2011 to 2019, Gavin was his second in command. So he stayed in that job for 8 years. He was the mayor of San Francisco from 2004 to 2011. And before that, so he was 36 years old when he was the mayor of San Francisco. I think he was the youngest mayor they had ever had, and stayed there for 7 years. Previous to that, he was on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors from 1997 to 2004. So another 7 years there. So he goes nowhere but up. And when he gets to a spot, he stays there for years. He's been in government for 26 years straight. He hasn't left. He went from 97 to 04 in San Francisco Board of Supervisors. From 04 to 11, he was the mayor of San Francisco. From 11 to 19, he was lieutenant governor. And from 19, currently, he's the governor. So he doesn't leave. So when I say that I think he's going to stay until 2028, part of the reason is that he likes to stay. He stays for a while. he makes sure that he's there for a long duration. So 7 years Board of Supervisors, 7 years for mayor of San Francisco, 8 years lieutenant governor, and so far he's been in office for 4 years in as governor. So again, according to my calculations, has another five to go. And but again, he'll be installed. He worked with Slick Willie Brown in 1995 and fucked his way to the top. I mean, maybe. I know, we know Kamala did, right? With Willie Brown. Willie Brown. Downtown Willie Brown. Kamala knows who Willie Brown is because he straight up admitted that she got her job by having an affair with him while he was married, which, you know, and then she was one of Geraldo's two girlfriends. I don't know. It gets very murky at that point. And we'll focus on Kamala Harris another time because she's so much fun to pick on. But let's talk a little bit about Gavin Newsom's empire, right? Because he's building himself quietly, of course, a business empire that I'm sure will probably have questions when he ascends to the presidency. I'm sure there won't be any deals happening, wink, wink, that stand to enrich the Newsom clan at all, right? Right. So let's talk about his company. There's a theme. They're all named Plump Jack, whatever. Plump Jack Associates was started in 1991. That was sort of the parent company. From that, in 1992, Plump Jack Winery started. After that, they moved on to the Plump Jack Cafe in 1994 and the Plump Jack Squaw Valley Inn. And then they've also got something known as the Plump Jack Development Fund, which is like a, venture capital fund that they can use to invest in a variety of things, none of which, I assure you, are going to be good. He's the author of a book called Citizenville, How to Take the Town Square Digital and Reinvent Government. Reinvent government? You're going to reinvent government? Let me guess. You'll own nothing and like it? You mean that? Oh, since I mentioned that, 2005 World Economic Forum, young global leader. But again, that should go without saying. When he starts talking about, I'm going to write a book called Citizenville, How to Take the Town Square Digital and Reinvent Government. I don't hear Gavin. I hear Klaus Schwab. I hear it in his accent saying, yes, 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 we reinvent government. You will eat the bugs. And so again, geographically speaking, Gavin Newsom's in the Bay Area of San Francisco. That is, for those of you that are unfamiliar with the geography of everything, San Francisco, just a little bit south of San Francisco, is an area that they've deemed Silicon Valley. That's where all the tech startups are. Some of them are actually in San Francisco themselves, but actually many of them are in San Francisco. But as you go a little bit further south, you start to get into Menlo Park and San Jose and Palo Alto and Mountain View and places like that. That's where a lot of these tech companies are actually founded. We've done an entire episode about called The Creature from Sand Hill Road. That Sand Hill Road is a really well-known street that runs in Palo Alto and Mountain View, I think, that shows like, you know, that that's where all the venture capital firms are. So he's got a connection into big tech. He's got it through the World Economic Forum, obviously, being a young global leader. But beyond that, just where he's based, California and San Francisco, you know, as the governor of California, as the lieutenant governor of California, as the mayor of San Francisco, and certainly sitting on that board of San Francisco Board of Supervisors, that puts you in proximity to all the money. Like it all flows through there at some point. So as far as like raising money for a presidential run, won't be hard. Especially if he's the establishment guy and he's been picked, won't be hard. Even if he was like an outsider, His access to capital would be unmatched because his ability to fundraise in Silicon Valley would just, you could hit that spot and you'd be done. You know, you'd have enough money to cover you. So, you know, but so he's pushing big for AI. He's pushing big tech. He wants this to be involved in running government. Hell, he wrote a book saying, how to take the town square digital, Silicon Valley, and reinvent government, World Economic Forum. So he's team bad guy. For sure, if you didn't just look at him and know it right away, he looks like a guy that's about to sell you insurance that doesn't actually cover you. You know what I mean? As the mayor of San Francisco, he virtue signaled hardcore to the Rainbow Mafia, and by making same-sex marriage legal, even though it got overturned because it was not legal. He just did it anyway. This is performance art, and in my opinion, he may feel that same-sex marriage, you know, everyone should get married. Frankly, I don't care. It's not an issue that I really have much energy on. But for the gay community, which is a massive component of San Francisco, you've got to signal to them that you're on their side, that you're an ally. And so by saying, oh, I'm going to just make gay marriage legal, and I'm just saying that it's legal, and now it's legal, and everyone's like, hooray, he's a hero. And then the feds come down, they go, what are you talking about? Like, you can't do this. And they just threw it out and they go, it's still illegal. This is nonsense. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a symbolic gesture. It worked. And now, of course, it is legal. So He's going to take credit for that. He's going to say, well, you know, listen, I mean, I'm part of the reason why it is legal. And maybe he is, you know, I mean, maybe really he is part of the reason why it is legal, but he doesn't really care. You know what I mean? He doesn't really care. This is all pandering. This is a publicity stunt. This is know your audience. You're going to run for the mayor of San Francisco. Don't run on a platform of like, I'm going to round up the gays and put them in camps. That is a strategy that would most definitely not put you in the mayor's office. So Gavin Newsom understands how to navigate this situation. He's full woke. Okay. I mean, I think that should kind of go without saying, but he's woke in his policies. What he does in his private life, you know, who knows, but he's definitely a panderer. And he understands how to get votes. He understands how to win elections. Okay. And once he gets in, he knows how to navigate in a way in order to keep him in and not getting thrown out. But since I mentioned all this Plump Jack Associates and the winery and the cafe and the Squaw Valley and the Development Fund and all this stuff, let's talk about where he's getting his money. And since we're talking about Plump Jack, we're talking about Gordon Getty. Now, Gordon Getty is one of J. Paul Getty's sons. Okay. J. Paul Getty was a notorious oil man, made a lot of money. There's the Getty Museum in LA on the west side of town. I've been there before. It's a beautiful place. There's questions about tunnels and things like that. I don't know the ins and outs of that. I've heard the rumors, but I don't know. But regardless of that, you just think of, like, I don't know, the Rockefellers. A lot of money from oil and multi-generational oil money. And when you've got a lot of that cash sitting around, you look for different ways to invest it, spend it, deploy it. And along the way, Gordon Getty, who was Gavin Newsom's father's best friend, closest friend, right? So along the way, the Getty family and the Newsom family hooked up, and they went into business together in a variety of ways. And just to kind of put this in perspective, you don't hear too much about Getty Oil anymore. You hear about Rockefellers. You know about that. And you've heard about Royal Dutch Shell. And you've heard about ExxonMobil, and you've heard of some of these big, you know, there's been a lot of consolidation in the oil industry over the last 30 years. So some of the names that you recognize, they kind of went away and you go, oh, did they go out of business? No, they never, you can't bankrupt an oil company. I mean, that's damn, it's like, well, I guess Trump did bankrupt a casino 3 times. So I guess it is possible. But theoretically speaking, you shouldn't be able to run an oil company out of the ground. The reason why you don't know the names anymore isn't because they went out of business because they were poorly run or they didn't find oil. It's because they consolidated into a bigger group that doesn't use the old name. So Getty Oil sold to Texaco in 1986 for $10 billion in 86 money, 1986 money. You remember like Gordon Gekko type Wall Street, that movie filmed back in the 80s, like back when $1 billion was worth something, right? They sold for 10. Biggest merger ever. At the time, it was the biggest one that had ever happened. So it was a huge deal. And in the end, Gordon Getty controlled 40% of the stock, and Texaco and Getty combined were doing $60 billion in sales revenue every year. Okay. So we are talking, I mean, that's not profits, but it is oil. It's in the oil industry. The profit margins are pretty decent there. It's not like running a grocery store where you're at like 1% profit margins. I think in oil, you're at least double digits, right? So it's quite a bit of profit. So Texaco, you know, that happened, you know, almost 40 years ago, that merger. And you go, like, Texaco. Yeah. I remember Texaco. Where are they? Did they go? They're not around. I remember you used to go, there was a Texaco gas stations. Did they go out of business? No. No, you just would know them as a different company name. So it goes from Getty to Texaco and then Texaco to Chevron. You know who Chevron is, right? It's one of the largest oil companies in the entire world, and the Gettys are in that, okay? So when Gavin Newsom opens a Plumpjack winery with Getty oil money, this is the chain, okay? Just so we know. Since I mentioned revenue, $60 billion a year in sales back then, let's talk about profits. This last year, 2022, Chevron's reported net profits, not revenue, net profits, $35.47 billion. Okay. So they're making money. And that doesn't even take into account what their stock price is doing. So Chevron's market cap is currently sitting at $311.25 billion. I looked it up today. So it's a third of a $1 trillion company that is backing, at least in some form or fashion, maybe not Chevron corporate, of course, but owners, people that have large ownership stakes in Chevron are behind Gavin Newsom. So this Gordon Getty guy, right? So he was Gavin Newsom's dad's best friend. He also, Gavin's dad managed the Getty family trust. It's called Vallejo, the family office. The family office is where the Rockefeller Fund was one. You know, it's not just the oil company itself. You then start like a foundation that manages all the money for the family itself, and they call it like the home office, or they call it the family office. And that family office is called Vallejo. And the guy that ran Vallejo on behalf of the Gettys was Gavin Newsom's dad. So they're best friends. All right. That's how Gavin came in. It's like, if your dad worked with some super rich guy and then you got out of college and were like, I want to raise money, and your dad be like, talk to my partner, the super rich guy. He's got all the money in the world. He's known you since you were a baby, right? So he'd be a perfect guy to talk to. And so that's how it worked. Now, Gordon Getty, besides being this oil guy who had more money than he could ever spend in his lifetime, was also something of a super talented musician. I mean, still is, and he's still alive. But went to like music school, music college, and everything, and was into composing and writing operas. And he's written tons of operas. And he, I mean, he's credited as being like a real player in the classical music industry and in with writing the music for operas. And one of his favorites that he composed was an opera called Plump Jack, which would explain why all of Gavin's stuff is named Plump Jack. So you take the money from the guy, you got to name your operations after him. They're partners. I mean, this is how it is. So let's talk about the other crime family that Gavin Newsom is connected to, and that's the Pelosis. Okay. You want to talk about a real player in San Francisco politics and real estate. The Pelosi family is that they have, they are related. Gavin Newsom is related to the Pelosis through marriage. They're not like nephews or it's not like Aunt Nancy. I don't think your mother's sister or something like that, but I think it's Aunt Nancy by like marriage somehow. So Nancy Pelosi, you know who she is, that martini drinking lunatic whose husband was having hammer escapades with his boyfriend or I don't know, grinder delivery guy. I'm not sure what that whole situation was where the guy got busted, like whacking Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer. And then everybody pretended like it wasn't some sort of gay rendezvous. I mean, everybody except us, we were laughing uncontrollably with the whole situation. I mean, like, you never like to see a guy get hit in the head with a hammer, right? But, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that Paul Pelosi has been hammered, but Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House twice, San Francisco, I don't know, I would just call her San Francisco Mafia Don, right? Don't let the good looks fool you. An old Nancy, she's a mafia queenpin, right? She knows her way around Washington, D.C., but also San Francisco, came up through there, former chair of the California Democratic Party, right? U.S. representative for 36 years, deep state to her core, Nancy Pelosi. So the Pelosi family and the Newsom family are very close, related by marriage. And the Gettys are also involved in this as well. So what you have is this group of very well-connected Democrat politicians and their families that have all the money in the world and have access to not just California politics, not just the former chairman of the California Democratic Party. She's the Speaker of the House twice. That's the head of the Democrats, period, right? In some capacity, at least. So she's powerful. I mean, we goof about, you know, she's 80 plus and she's slurring and she's next, you know, she's Dianne Feinstein light. So she's next. She'll be voting for things that she can't even read shortly, I assure you. But you have to understand who Gavin's connected to understand. When I say he's going to be the president in 2028, I'm not kidding. I mean, if there was if I could put money on it, I'd put money on it. I probably can. What's the FanDuel? We running parlays. I think they are in 2024. I wouldn't take him in 2024, but I bet the over on 2028. Man, I'm telling you, he's coming. But the Pelosi family. And, you know, the ironies, the Gettys, you know, the oil people are all the ones clamoring for climate change, you know, talking about this climate change agenda and everything. Well, because they know that the regulations, the people that are in charge of regulating those industries are going to regulate in a way that basically locks out all of their competition. So they're saying, please don't throw me in the briar patch, you know, with this climate change regulation. And the regulation is going to come in and they'll never have competition ever again. They'll be in. Don't worry about that. They've taken care of that. So Gavin is team climate change. He's team World Economic Forum. He's team Alphabet Mafia. He's into all of that stuff. Let's talk a little bit about his personal life. It's relevant. It's relevant because it's relevant to his character, right? You want to know who this guy is? Well, I think it's important that you know that he's an alcoholic. I think it's important that you know that he was a cocaine addict. I think it's important that you know that he cheated on his wife, that he's been divorced, okay? That he's a liar and a manipulator. You know, so this is important. It's not just calling the guy names. I can call him names too. I mean, I call him the American Psycho because he looks like Patrick Bateman from that movie, if you've ever seen it. I mean, it's a dead ringer. It's not, I didn't come up with that. It's so obvious that everybody is using that. So his character matters. You know, the fact that he was doing a lot of cocaine matters. The fact that he was an alcoholic matters. You know, and you may say, well, don't shit on a guy who's got these addictions. I wouldn't shit on just any guy who's got these addictions. Life is hard, you know, life is hard. And I hope that I don't wind up in a situation like that at some point. I don't think I will, but I mean, you just never know. So I'm not trying to shit on him for that. I'm just saying it calls into question his character, his judgment, his decision-making skills, you know, who he thinks he is, you know, what he thinks he can get away with, how he thinks he can manipulate people. He's a scumbag. He's a scumbag, but he looks good. And don't underestimate that. Don't underestimate the fact that I think the stats show that almost every election, the taller candidate wins. You know, like there's something to be said. It's kind of it's hard to quantify, but there's something to be said for looking presidential. And all the horrible stuff I've said about Gavin Newsom, I cannot say that he doesn't look presidential. He looks like the president of the United States. And unfortunately, he kind of acts like one, right? Let's talk about what happened during COVID, okay? Because he locked down California hard. He locked them down with an iron fist. Do you remember the bulldozing of sand into skate parks and the 2x4s that they were bolting to basketball hoops outside so that people wouldn't play basketball? You remember all those policies? Those were Gavin Newsom policies. The insanity with masks. I mean, that was sort of happening all over the place, but nowhere quite like California. COVID mask deal with China for billions of dollars. Oh, we're not allowed to talk about that. We're not allowed to talk about that Gavin Newsom cut a deal with China for like $1 billion for masks. Can we ask where the money went? Can we ask, did you get $1 billion worth of masks for your $1 billion? Did you get anything? Did you wash money through China? Did you wash it by using masks as an excuse? How much of that money wound up finding its way into people connected with you, Gavin? That's what I want to know. I mentioned he's Rainbow Mafia connected. He's basically adopted by that group. They don't see him for who he truly is. They don't see themselves they don't see themselves as being authoritarians. So they obviously don't see Gavin Newsom as being a bad guy. They see him as being an ally to them. You know, while he's skipping out the back door to go to French Laundry to have dinner with 15 of his buddies and sit around for 3 hours drinking expensive wine from the winery that he owns, and sitting around without their masks on, without a care in the world, getting videotaped and not caring. You, Gavin, you were videoed not wearing a mask. Who cares? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Throw me out of office? Of course not. He opened up prisons during COVID while locking down the public. That's what you need to know. You want to know about Gavin Newsom? He wanted to lock you down while he opened the jail cells and said, oh, there's too many prisoners in there. It's overcrowding and that's bad for COVID. Yeah, it's a prison. It's overcrowded because there's a lot of people getting arrested. I've got my problems with the prison industry. Don't get me started on that. But his solution to that was we need to reduce 40% of the prisoners in there. Hell, I might even agree with some of it. A lot of the nonviolent offenses that are in there. You got guys sitting away in there for weed and, you know, a bunch of things. So, you're going to cut the prison population by 40%? In my mind, I'm assuming like the least dangerous 40% get to go. No. He let a guy out who was convicted of multiple murders. Let him out. The guy was doing a life sentence without parole. And he let him out. He didn't just say, oh, I'm going to commute your sentence to life with parole and give you the opportunity. No, he just said, get out. Get on the streets where you belong. Oh, and by the way, anybody that would stand in your way, if you want to go rob some stores or do whatever you want to do, they're all locked in their houses. I locked them down so that I could let you guys out. There are pirates in San Francisco Bay. Now, did you see that story? There are people that are taking over boats and just living on them. Not their own boats. They're defined legally as pirates. There are pirates in the San Francisco Bay. I mean, it's kind of cool, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of funny. But not if you own the boats. Not if you own the boats. He fucked up the port situation in L.A., Long Beach in Southern California, and also in San Francisco, they've got ports there. He screwed up the whole thing. He's got this idea where he said, oh, we only want the trucks to service the ports. All the trucks that service the port have to be electric vehicles. They have to be electric trucks. And the trucking industry is like, yeah, but here's the problem. Electric trucks, they don't really even exist. And so what do you want us to do? And he's like, I want you to use electric trucks. And they're like, well, you know, see answer A to the, like, we don't know what to tell you. So they've started building these electric trucks. They don't work very well. And of course he's making electronic truck, EV trucks and cars mandatory by 2035, meaning you in California, you won't be able to buy a gas burning automobile in 2036, because in 2035, that's when it goes into effect that you can no longer buy or sell anything other than electric vehicles. Now, I want you to take your time on this one, but imagine a scenario in which everybody is driving electric cars in California. But as of today, the electric grid in California shuts down some of the times in August, just when the temperature gets over like 100 degrees in Southern California, which happens all the time. So you have an electric grid that can't handle today's electric capacity. When electric cars are optional and hardly anywhere, you know, you see them. I mean, you see plenty of Teslas, but they're not, I don't know, as a percentage of all cars on the road, they've got to be less than 5%. I mean, there's no way they could be more than 5%. Let's just say it's 5%, right? Let's just say one out of 20 cars currently is an electric vehicle, and California's power grid can't handle it now. You want to make 20 out of 20 cars electric vehicles, and you don't have a plan for upgrading California's electrical grid? What are you thinking? Like, this isn't calculus. This is common sense. How is this going to work? This is ready, fire, aim, as far as I'm concerned. The idea that electric vehicles are coming to save you, and you're like, oh, it's so good for the environment. No, it isn't. Where do you think that electricity comes from? It comes from burning coal. So instead of burning gasoline, you're burning coal. I mean, please explain to me how you're saving the... Again, but this is what Gavin Newsom is all about. He's all about the Green Revolution. He's all about Agenda 2030. He works with the United Nations very closely. He works with the World Economic Forum. He wants this. He is leading by example with California. The only problem is the example is going to be an utter disaster. Now, you don't have to be Nostradamus. You just have to be somebody with a functioning brain. that understands that the California electric grid is in bad shape. It's in bad shape now, and it's you're only going to burden it further until it completely collapses. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe this is Clower and Piven. Overload the system to the point where you destroy it. Right. So in conjunction with the EV push, you know, they've banned gas powered leaf blowers. Do you know what those are? Are you familiar with those? The handheld leaf blowers that the landscaping guys use to make sure, you know, after they cut your grass and everything, and they just blow it all into one corner and sweep it up. Now, those, you can't get the gas powered ones. You can only get electric ones. So again, we're trading gasoline powered for electricity powered, with the electricity coming 80% coal, 20% nuclear. Now, if it were 80% nuclear and 20% coal, I'd have a different opinion about this, but it's not. So it doesn't matter. So they're focused on really the minutia. Gas powered leaf blowers. Thank God somebody's come to save the day. They pesky gas powered leaf blowers have been destroying this planet for too long, I say. What about the California vaccine mandates in school? It's the reason why we left California. 2015. Sorry. The SB 287, SB 283, I think it was, passed, and it was mandating vaccines for all kids starting in kindergarten. Had to have the full schedule or you couldn't come to school. He's team vaccine. I mean, he's big time team vaccine. So all of the things that I am against, Gavin Newsom is enthusiastically supporting. And so it's not really difficult for me to, to not get on board the Gavin Newsom train. But for all you Californians out there who are still there and haven't escaped like I have, you get what you vote for. Sadly, I'm sorry, you're being held hostage. All you sane people in California that aren't voting for this, you're being held hostage by lunatics that think that this is stunning and brave, and it just is not. You're being run by a gigantic hypocrite, a mask Nazi who gets busted not wearing his mask, then takes the shots and gets Guillain-Barré. You remember that? Do you remember that? He took his booster shot on October 27th, 2021, skipped the COP26 summit, which is the climate change summit. He always goes to those. That's his favorite time. That's when they, I don't know, tell him how he's going to be the president or whatever. And the word on the street is that he went to Mexico to get stem cell treatment, which is illegal in the United States, right? You can't get it there. You got to go to Mexico. So rules for thee, but not for Gavin Newsom. So what else has he done? Well, he's not helping the climate or the border crisis. He's not helping that at all. California does border Mexico. If you want to take a look at it, it's the geography of such is that, you know, a lot of it in Southern California, San Diego area, a lot of that is just, it's like right where the Baja Peninsula comes down, and then there's the Gulf of California. So like there's a thin part of Mexico that extends straight down. Like if you go from San Diego south, you wind up right in Tijuana, and you continue going south, you wind up in Rosarito, and eventually if you get to the bottom, the very bottom of that tip, it's Cabo San Lucas. So that's Mexico. And a ton of people come into the United States illegally through San Ysidro, which is the San Diego port of entry, and in that area. So there's a wide open border problem there in California. Does Gavin Newsom care about that? Well, to the extent that he wants it open. Yeah, he still wants it open. Sanctuary cities, tent cities. You know, I never saw tent cities. And I lived in South Central Los Angeles. The only place you could ever go to see people living on the streets really was Skid Row, which was a little bit north of downtown. So that's where you would go, but that's like Sketchyville and you knew like you don't go there, but now everywhere is Sketchyville. Let me rephrase that. Santa Monica, I said I've never seen tent cities before, anywhere in California. I stand correct. I want to correct myself. Santa Monica has always had a very lax policy towards the homeless. So I did see homeless people living kind of in encampments there. But I also knew that that was Santa Monica's policy. And they said they were like the original sanctuary city. And they got what they got from that too. And a lot of businesses moved out. A lot of people felt very unsafe living there. So there's a border crisis. California and Gavin Newsom is a contributing factor to that. Also, in case you were wondering about taxes, he's in favor of them. If you think Gavin Newsom's going to get in there and lower your taxes, he is the governor of the state of California. And of the 50 states in the United States, California has the highest state tax, 13.3%. So for those that are outside of America, there is a federal tax that you pay, and then there may or may not be a state income tax that you pay, depending on which state you live in. Some states, like Texas and Florida and Tennessee and a few others, there's in Nevada, there's no state income tax. You don't pay anything. You might pay you're definitely going to pay sales tax and things like that. California's got all the taxes, federal taxes, state taxes, city taxes, county taxes. They tax you for your dog. They tax you, registering your car is like four times more expensive in Cal. I remember when I moved to Colorado and I registered my car and it was like $75. I was like, whoa, this is fantastic. How much was it in California? It's like $400. I mean, every year to register your car. So everything is more expensive there. And they take all this tax money and they create a shithole with it. So it's not even like it's a utopia. It'd be one thing if it was like 13% taxes, but the state was 113% better than anywhere else. That's not the case. California has been living off its reputation for a long, long time. It's fallen apart, right? So you've got, what else does California have problems with? Drought. Up until this last year when they sort of restocked on a lot of the water, California was having massive droughts. Now I'm not going to blame all of that on Gavin Newsom, but there are some things that you could do that would be, you know, if you know you have a drought, then fire remediation would be a good thing to do. California cut it. They cut the money that they spent on that. They said, we don't need that. Let the place burn, right? Who cares? High-speed rail. They've been talking about a high-speed rail from San Francisco to Los Angeles for as long as I've been alive. It's never going to happen. Do you know why? Because California government is so corrupt that it just never, ever works. It's just never going to figure itself out. Since I mentioned the homeless situation before, it's worth pointing out that in the United States of America, a country that now has a massive homeless problem, 50% of all homeless people in the United States live in one state, California. I understand it's geographically a large state and can technically hold people, but Texas is bigger and they don't have 50% of the homeless population of the United States. They might have 50% of the illegal immigrant population now, but that's California that has all that. California is a mess. Gavin Newsom is the overseer of a city a state with the highest taxes, the highest homeless population, massive droughts, unbelievable corruption, always been corrupt. Sanctuary cities, tent cities, border crisis, you know, and then on top of all of that, you have to appreciate his time back as in the woke San Francisco Board of Supervisors. And I'd like to remind people, this is the group that Scott Wiener was a part of. He's the guy that has petitioned to lower the age of consent for children to have sex with adults. He wants it so that it, as long as you're less than 10 years older than the child that you're raping, then it's fine. So this is the group that brought you Chesa Bowden, the Soros-funded woke district attorney weirdo that made any shoplifting under $951 essentially legal, not non-criminal. So, you know, that's kind of some of the things that Gavin Newsom has been involved in. But let's talk about what does the future hold for Californians? Well, I think that what you're going to get, and I'm not even talking about not the future for Californians, the future for Americans with California's version of Patrick Bateman. I think the vision that Gavin Newsom has for America in 2028, when he becomes the president of the United States, is a vision that is very much in alignment with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, United Nations Agenda 2030, the World Economic Forum's plan for a Build Back Better. Again, implied in the name is destruction, because you wouldn't have to build it back if it wasn't destroyed. You wouldn't have to build it back better. California is already in the process of destruction. That's obvious. So I think that what you will get is team globalism, pro-climate change agendas, things like that. You will get a removal of rights. You will get an amplification of the LGBTQ plus XYZ mafia and the normalization of pronouns. I want you to understand that he just signed legislation in making it mandatory that all schools install a third bathroom in California, a third bathroom for trans students, because trans students' lives matter, even though they are 0.7% of the population. I envision a United States with Gavin Newsom in charge in which third bathrooms are mandatory everywhere. Everybody has to retrofit this. They'll call it like the broken window fallacy, we break the window and then you've got to go spend money and you've got to hire the guy to come and fix the window and the delivery guy gets paid and the installation guy gets paid and the window company makes money and you spend money and it's money velocity and it's all these great things. No, it's fucking retarded is what it is when you're breaking windows intentionally to stimulate the economy or adding third bathrooms to stimulate the economy. Just admit that you have dumb ideas. Just admit that the plan isn't working. If the idea to bolster the economy is to nonsensically mandate that you add a third bathroom for an imaginary gender, then your ideas are dumb. If that's the bet you've got nothing. I envision, listen, he just replaced Diane, when the crypt keeper Diane Feinstein finally died, or maybe she's been dead for months, I don't know. He said, I'm going to replace her with a black woman. It's like, oh, is that the most qualified candidate? He's like, qualified? What do you mean qualified? No. I'm looking for diversity. I'm ticking diversity boxes. And what did he find? He found a black lesbian who lives in Maryland to fill a role in California. How does that work? She's lived in Maryland the last 2 years. Who cares? Who cares? She's black and she's a lesbian. That's all that counts, right? She changed her Twitter profile after she was nominated, after she was appointed, so that it didn't say Maryland anymore. But she'd been living in Maryland the last 2 years. You think the black lesbian lady from Maryland is going to give a flying fuck about the white straight guy in California that needs their state representative to fight for them? Do you think that that's going to happen in any way? No, of course not. So I expect more diversity hires, diversity appointments. I expect the rainbow mafia to be in full effect. I expect critical race theory to be mandatory. I expect Common Core to be expanded. I expect people to have to put their pronouns in or face fines. I expect people that criticize the rainbow mafia to be thrown off of any social media platform or video sharing site. I expect the worst. I expect the absolute worst from this guy. Think BLM times like a million D. You know what I mean? Think that when you think of Gavin Newsom. And of course, I also envision a 2028 presidential win by Gavin Newsom to also be the real unfurling of artificial intelligence used to govern. After all, he did write a book about it, Citizensville, How to Take the Town Square Digital and Reinvent Government. And my logical assumption is that he's going to bring the AI guys in, or they're already there. Eric Schmidt from Google is running the Pentagon's AI program. So more AI to, quote, run government, to fix government. It's always going to be about fixing it, right? I expect, as a subset of this artificial intelligence push, I expect pre-crime to become a component. Oh, you think that's limited to Philip K. Dick? You are sorely mistaken. The Minority Report book that he wrote 50 years ago and that Steven Spielberg produced in 2002 is looking more and more like a documentary every day. And with his Silicon Valley ties, I find it to be alarming. So let's wrap up with this. You know, look, he might be the Antichrist. It's possible. I'll have to talk to Eric Kajewski about that, see what his people in the Catholic groups are saying. they're convinced that the Antichrist is coming. I'm like, have you considered Gavin Newsom? He might be. I'm just saying. And for what it's worth, he just looks like an asshole. Okay. I don't expect that to really be a measurable attribute, but he looks like every jerk off realtor I ever had problems with. They all look like Gavin Newsom. You know what I mean? There's a look, and he's got that look. He looks like the type of guy that would fuck your girlfriend. You know what I mean? He probably would. He probably has. So, you almost have to appreciate his lack of self-awareness. You know, he is unfettered by what you think of him, right? It is not going to stop him. I don't think he sees himself as a bad guy. I think he sees the rest of us as dummies that don't know anything, and that he's a liberator, and that he's going to come in and he's going to save us from everything. But he's a savage and he's very dangerous. And one thing is for certain, Gavin Newsom is open for business. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to rate the show, I certainly would appreciate it. Give me 5 stars if you think I've earned it. It matters to the algorithm. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again later.
Just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy.
Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.